knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is episode 315.5. We have Jason Lindgren with us, and Gregory Mannarino is back. To refresh memories, Gregory has spent a good portion of his life in dealing with how currency, money markets, this type of thing goes on in our world. So from my point of view, there's no better way to try to get an inside view of what the hell is going on in a world gone crazy, upside down, backwards, up is down. I mean, everyone knows we're kind of in a strange place. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And good morning.
All right, let's do this. We don't have much time with Greg. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, glad to be here. Thank you.
So we caught up. I don't know. It's been a probably over a month or so. I don't even recall last time we did this, but I know probably a lot has changed since we did this. What's going on right now in the world? And, you know, there was this buzz going on about a reset. Can you give us your ideas about this? Is there a complete redo of how we use so-called money? And where are things right now?
Well, I think things are more distorted than they were a month ago, and they're going to continue on that pathway. We're going to continue to see all kinds of things go on here. I guess the main thing people are concerned with right now is inflationary pressures. Something I've warned about for a very, very long time. We've been seeing this. It's accelerating. In my view, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better here, although we do have Fed presidents coming out trying to convince us that, you know, oh, this is just temporary, but it's going to get worse first. You can't make this stuff up. It's impossible to do. But again, what else is this doing here? We have a central bank basically running an inflation creation machine that is they're issuing debt through one door. They're buying debt through another door. It's literally an incredible situation. By design, it's creating inflation, and it's not going to stop. As a matter of fact, I believe it's going to accelerate. And I've been explaining this to people for the longest time. I've been spot on, 100% correct. So look, the distortions that exist in this market, all of it being sparked by a runaway central bank determined to own it all, determined to kill the dollar in its current form, determined to eliminate the middle class. I've warned again for an entire decade that we were going to a two-tier society, extreme haves, extreme have-nots. That's exactly what's happening here. And then we have the mainstream media propaganda. Everything is great. We're doing well. Couldn't be doing better. We're in an economic boom. I mean, just this morning, we get another 500,000 people applying for first-time unemployment benefits. We are net losing jobs per month. Debts and deficits are exploding. They're out of control with no end in sight. The Federal Reserve's balance sheet is hyper-ballooning by design. So that's really where we are right now. But what does it mean? I mean, we could sit back and talk about this, but to me, it's all opportunity. If we understand where we are at, where it's going, we know the game because we know what they're going to do before they do it. It just allows all of us who have a few functioning brain cells to get on the right side of it. It's really that simple to me.
So if I, you know, I understand the water, but not so much currency. If I heard you correctly, a couple things stick out at me. So many people are concerned that the value of what they've worked for their whole life is going to go away somehow. But what I just heard you say was the main money makers, the central bank, are issuing debt on one side, which means somebody is in debt, and then they're buying it up on the backside. So isn't that just another way of saying they're taking control of wherever that debt went? And also, you attach the hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is just a way to devalue money, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. They're doing this by design here. I mean, I really hope people understand that everything they're seeing right now, nothing is by accident. All of this is following a script that's been put in place a long time ago, which goes right back to the scamdemic. They had to shut down the global economy. They had to do it to allow central banks to finish what they started. Well, let's stick to the Fed back in 1913 to become the lender and buyer of last resort. The Federal Reserve, since their inception, has been to one day be the owner of it all, have full control over the currency, full control over everything, own it all. And that's what they're doing.
how can they be protected? Is this just by dint of illusion? Look, we're big. Look, we have all this money. Look, we control all the paper. What prevents anyone at some point from saying, you know what, we've had enough of central banks? What is their insulation? You know, we know damn well this is a chess game that's been going on for so long, and we know damn well there's probably 100 emergency hatch doors created if things start going in a way they don't like. But how the hell are they protected from a world that said we had enough?
Well, they are the Federal Reserve today is the government. The Federal Reserve today is the strongest organization in the world, bar none. They are protected by the entire military might of the United States arsenal. All of it in its entirety. And they will point that weapon at anyone, even internally, no matter what they have to do to survive. That's the goal here of the central banks, especially the Federal Reserve, because it is the dollar is the world reserve currency. Again, to gain as much power and control as they possibly can. And we've seen, again, since the last meltdown of 2008, what have we watched happen? We've watched the debt hyperballoon, the debt bubble hyperballoon, and every dollar a central bank is allowed to issue, the stronger they become exponentially. So what's there to stop it? Well, like I said, there's not enough will to get rid of the Federal Reserve. They're not going anywhere. This was a big argument during the Trump administration. I told everyone they were wrong. The Fed was going to be there when Trump was out of office. I was told I was wrong by thousands and thousands of people. I was 100% right. Can't be stopped. The Federal Reserve, again, their power is unrestrained. It's uncontrolled. It cannot be controlled. And again, they have the full backing of the United States military behind it. And how do we know that? Because of the petrodollar system. The petrodollar system is really the mechanism behind this entire thing. And, you know, if you want to look at crude oil with regard to its valuation, where it is right now, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. I'm a pretty good judge of value. And I can say this, that crude oil has no bearing on reality today. It's over $65 a barrel. So it should be around 20. And I'm being generous here. But it's all fake. It's all being propped up. Just like everything else. I mean, you had started off. This is insanity. On a massive scale, and a lot of people are buying into it. And a lot of people just don't understand the environment they're in. We've never been here before. This is so twisted and so sick. But again, what is it doing here? It's eliminating a whole class of people and creating very wealthy people on one end and stealing wealth from those that are left in the middle class. We really are at that point, a feudal system today, where we have extreme haves, extreme have-nots, and the middle class has just fallen down to the lower rung, like I warned people would happen for the longest time. So that's where we're at. I mean, there's no impetus to get rid of the central bank. Our fake government, you know, it's not real. The real government is the Fed. They're dictating the rules. They're dictating everything because they control the currency. If they control the currency, they control the world. And that's what they're doing right now. And it's a big play between corporate entities right now, this United States of corporate America right now, this merger between this new government system and these corporations here being run by the Federal Reserve. There's no way out of it. There's no way to stop it. People don't get it. They don't. People say, oh, let's end the Fed. Let's do this. But there's not enough people saying that. I mean, you, me, people that are listening to the show, I'm sure are all on the same page, but we are the vast minority. Most people have no idea. Then they're lulled into a sense of helplessness. You know, they're struggling just to get by here. We got 34%, and this is the amount of people they're allowing us to know, 34% of households in the United States are dependent on the government today. They're creating a slave society dependent on a massive government, which is really the central bank, the Federal Reserve. Everything else is a show. It's all a charade.
So let's shift gears for a minute and talk about things that exist in the world. And I want to get your take on this, and I'll preface this. I don't think you'll ever meet anyone in the world that's more against the idea of cryptocurrency than I am. But just ignore what I said, because you have your finger on the pulse of people who are involved directly in what we call money markets and other things in this world. Let's talk a minute about gold and silver. As we started to go in this, there was information put all over where, oh, this is undervalued, this is that, it's going to go through the roof. And I paid attention because, in my view, having something in your hand is infinitely better than imagining you have something in your hand. So what's your take on the historic nature of precious? So let's just stick with gold and silver. Historically, these backed, you know, with real value, supposedly intrinsic value currencies. Where is that now? What's your take on gold and silver? And the reason I'm asking is so many people are scared to death that the retirement accounts that are wrapped up in fiat currency are going to somehow go away or be devalued or hyperinflationed out of value. So talk a minute about things that truly intrinsically exist, gold and silver.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how much I love gold and silver. Silver is my favorite asset of all time. I've been telling people for, I don't know, a decade now that to me, it's the most undervalued asset in the history of the world. People must underline 1,000 times, have physical assets, silver, gold, platinum, palladium in their portfolios. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, we understand the game. Look, it's no secret. Everybody who works on Wall Street or is connected to Wall Street or any way, shape, or form realizes what's going on here. We have the largest bank on the planet by assets. This is JP Morgan, who is rigging the price of metals. Just 8 months ago, they paid an $9 billion fine, getting caught rigging the metals market again. This happens over and over and over again, and nobody gets made whole. Nothing gets done about it, and it's just the cost of business here. But and JP Morgan is not the only bank, but they're the biggest one right now, directly involved in using the derivative to rig the price of precious metals to the downside. To me, it's the biggest opportunity on the face of the earth. What do we know is going on? We understand that central banks are inflating on a scale that is beyond belief. The Federal Reserve's balance sheet in just the last year has doubled. Okay, and this is not just a phenomenon to the Federal Reserve. This is central banks around the world. They are hyperinflating. So we need to understand that you need to be in an anti-debt unit. And to me, this would be physical gold, physical silver, a non-central bank issued mode of transaction. This is why I am and have been and remain a major bull with regard to cryptocurrencies. I've been telling people to buy Bitcoin since 3000. Look at it today. I told people last week to buy Dash at 280 bucks, which is 400 and change today. This is just a week ago.
Because of value, you like crypto?
Because of value. I see. You know, look, there's a lot of reasons why I believe and have believed for a very, very long time in hard assets. That's my first thing. I started out here trying to tell people from day one, I said, bet against this debt and become your own central bank. I've been telling people to emulate what central banks do. That is hold physical assets, hard assets. This is what rich people do, wealthy people do. They're not all stuck in the dollar, which is a dying asset. Most rich people are cash poor, meaning they're not sitting in dollars. They have their wealth in assets like real estate, like things that will hold value, you know, as we move forward here. Most people don't understand that. I mean, you're gonna, why would anyone in their right mind today want to be in a fiat currency or a central bank issued note for which they have full control of and for which they are deliberately devaluing, all right? Anyone who has their cash in an interest earning account here in the United States, even a high yield account, is not being able to keep up with the actual rate of inflation. You're losing purchasing power every day. So you must seek alternatives. You've got to get out of the dollar. Again, let them play their game with regard to precious metals. They want to rig the price to the downside. Fantastic. I've written to every single organization you can think about, the SEC, the Commodities Exchange, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody writes back to me. Nobody gets back. They don't care. They understand what's going on, but that presents opportunity. Opportunity in a big, big way, because in my view, at one point, the real value of these things is going to be realized. Right now, the game is metals are being rigged via the derivative. Could you imagine a scenario where a physical hard asset derives value from a derivative? It's supposed to be the opposite way. It's like saying Apple stock derives its value from the derivative. It's completely upside down. And the reason why it's done this way is to keep the price rigged. The same thing goes for crude oil, commodities in general. It's an amazing phenomenon, what they do, how they've rigged the game. It's all a rigged game. Now, going back to cryptocurrencies here, these are not central bank issued modes of transaction. You own it. You own them. Okay. So that's why, again, I remain a major bull with regard to cryptos. And I'm telling people right now, I understand that things look really expensive. Let's say with regard to Bitcoin at 55,000, it's undervalued in my view. It's going much higher here. Unless they regulate it. I mean, we've been hearing about regulation with regard to cryptocurrencies for years and years. It just doesn't happen. And there's a big reason for that. Cryptocurrencies are not widely held. That's the truth here. So they're only held by a fraction of the population here. So there's no threat at all. So again, I don't see it. I don't think they're going to regulate it anytime soon. And if they do, we'll worry about it. Until that point, you can't sit here and worry about what may come down the pipe or may not come. Of course, you have to think about it, but you can't get overly worried about it. You have to look at the market you're in at the moment and then utilize what information you have at that time to make decisions. Of course, thinking down the line too, and that goes back to, for example, physical metals, holding gold, holding silver. You know, these are not trades for me. I don't trade these things. People don't understand that's another thing. Like, I am a big trader of the equity market. I trade equity derivatives. That's what I do. But with regard to physical metals, I've been buying silver since it's around $6.
Wow.
I've been buying gold from when it was about 700 or something, 650, somewhere around there. So, I mean, and I don't trade it. Once in a while, I might jump in and trade SLV, GLD. And most of the time when I try to do it, I lose.
Is that paper? You're talking about paper. You're not talking about physical possession.
Yeah, I want to hold it. This stuff, the physical stuff, I'm not trading it. I mean, you know, if someone wants to buy one of my assets, or let's say a car I might have or whatever, I would have absolutely accept physical gold, silver, cryptocurrencies for it. I would. I mean, I don't have to transact in dollars. It's people choose to do it.
Let me ask you something, Gregory. So here's another issue from people like myself who don't have a very good idea of how money markets work. So we have gold. Let's say somebody has gold and silver, and they've been doing what you've been doing it over the years, collecting it here, collecting it there. At the end of the day, fiat is how we value it out, right? We say this much fiat is what this particular ounce of precious metal is worth. So how is that going to work? It almost seems like what they're going to do is hyperinflate the dollar till all of a sudden there's some emergency. And to me, it feels like they're going to try to go to the digital dollar as part of the solution. Whether or not that's true, but that's what it feels like to me. Even at that point, the only value that we can talk about with each other is whatever the dollar of the type we have at the time will associate with an ounce. You see what I'm getting at here? Yeah. So even though we hold the physical intrinsic value, isn't it always going to be valued by whatever the currency is?
Well, yeah, of course. But first of all, you're spot on. You're 100% spot on. What they're doing here is we are in today a full-blown currency crisis, and it's global. How do we know that's happening? Because we have central banks printing cash out of thin air, actually adding digits to a screen like we've never seen before. Like I told you, just in the last year, the Federal Reserve's balance sheet has gone up 100%. The Fed is buying at least $120 billion worth of assets per month. That's a floor. There's no cap. In order for the Federal Reserve or any central bank to keep this scheme going, they have to continually increase their issuance of debt and acquisition of debt. It's just a revolving door, and it's an incredible situation. That must continue. So that's why when you hear lately all the talk about this being transient or it's going to temporary, this inflationary scenario that we're in, it's nonsense. And once we start seeing the money velocity kick up or the rate at which cash moves through the economy, even fractionally move higher, all those extra bills in any form they exist are going to start chasing the current amount of goods. And we're going to get a lot of inflation, a lot more than what we're seeing right now. But you're absolutely spot on. So what they're doing here is we're in a currency crisis. This currency crisis is going to get much, much worse in the form of people starting to see inflation. Then once people start crying about it, okay, do something about it. Please, somebody help us. Okay, it's the usual triad here. They allow a situation to manifest itself by design, okay, a crisis of one type or the other. They wait for the public outcry and they say, okay, we have a solution for you. The solution is going to be a completely digital, completely fiat currency. They want to control it all, the Federal Reserve. Not only are they buying everything and they're funneling dollars around the world to central. See, this is a big thing that people don't understand. The Federal Reserve is funneling dollars to central banks around the world that have their own currency. The Fed is funneling these dollars and allowing these central banks to buy assets with dollars.
They're replacement.
Effectively dollarizing the world. And I've been explaining this for years. So people need to understand that that's also going on right under their nose, and they don't even have an idea because we're moving to a one world currency in one form or another here. But it's the Federal Reserve who is setting this entire thing up. The crisis we're in right now is about to get a lot worse. They're going to get a public outcry, and then they're going to offer their solution, which is a new dollar, 100% digital. I mean, if you go on the Federal Reserve's own website, you will see on this planet, there exists really only about $1.9 trillion of actual money, of actual printed cash. The rest of it does not exist. It's not on the elemental chart. It's just not there. So it's not really a big deal for them to just totally turn a switch here and say, okay, guess what? Now there's no more paper money, no more coins, no more nothing. Everything is just transacted via a digital wallet. That's the way it's going to go 100%. Now, going back to what you were saying with regard to physical metals, yes, they are going to be priced in whatever, like, for example, everything is priced in dollars right now, being that the dollar is the world reserve currency. That's not going to change, but that's also not going to change the ability for, let's say, an ounce of gold or an ounce of silver to buy X. Okay, like I said earlier, if someone wants to buy an asset from me, whether it's a piece of artwork, whether it's I have vintage instruments, I have artwork, I have real estate, someone wants to buy this stuff from me, well, I will gladly transact in metals. Someone wants to pay me in metals, someone wants to pay me in cryptocurrencies, I'm all for it. I would gladly accept that.
So tell me if my thinking is sound here. I'm not going to touch crypto. It is manipulated like everything else, and it will be in the future. My view is that it will be regulated, but as you say, time will tell. Back to the gold and silver. My thinking on just beyond the intrinsic value of actually having a physical thing made by nature in your hand is this. The most wealthy of us in this world almost certainly have pretty large reserves of these metals, which in my way of thinking means there's not much danger that the people in charge are going to pull the rug and one day say, guess what? An ounce of silver is worth a dollar now, and devalue it because there's too many people that are important in the world holding that intrinsic metal. Is that a sound thought process?
I don't think they're going to devalue it lower, because the reason why they're keeping the price suppressed is multiple fold. One major factor is so that the rich, the banks themselves, the investment banks, hedge funds can acquire this stuff at very, very low prices. Look, that's another thing with regard to precious metals. It's not widely held either. I think there's a great misconception. I think a fraction of the population actually owns this stuff. Most of it is held by institutions. And these institutions are not going to lose. They never do. And I'm talking about the investment banks, the Wall Street banks, the big hedge funds. They know what they're doing, the extreme wealthy. Most people that I know, in fact, I would say every person that I know, every one of them that has some substantial net worth owns metals. Okay, the rest of the people, they don't own them. They don't even know where to get them from. So again, it's not a threat to the system at all. And I don't see them doing something like that ever, where they're going to say, okay, now we're going to revalue the price of gold lower. As a matter of fact, I see these things going much, much higher. Here's the deal. This is how this is going to play out. It's a very simple scenario, very, very easy to understand if you just look at the market. Okay, the market dictates pretty much everything, even though it's completely rigged upside down, backwards and sideways. It's the most twisted. In fact, I can't even get my head around it. And I study the market every day of my life, every aspect of it. But it's not real. There's nothing that has any real price discovery mechanism behind it because of the hyperinflated debt bubble. And what people need to understand is the stock market, housing, everything derives value off of what's happening in the debt market. So you can literally look at the entire stock market as a derivative of the debt market. The debt market sets the price for everything. When rates are artificially suppressed like this, and that you have this hyper bubble in debt, it causes, it's a deliberate too, it causes cash to move into certain assets which people would consider risk on. And that's why we have the stock market just yesterday, the Dow hitting a new record high. And while we will continue to see record highs in this market as we move forward, valuations don't matter, PE ratios don't matter, forward guidance doesn't matter, nothing matters anymore. When you have a central bank that's literally taken the largest aspect of this market and turned it into a freak show. It's a free for all. It becomes an absolute free for all. And what it also does is it not only inflates bubbles to the upside, it causes inverse bubbles. What am I referring to? When you have a risk on environment, markets run in cycles. Okay. Everyone knows this. Markets have, you know, there's bull cycles and there's bear cycles. There's bull cycles and there's bear cycles. Right now, we're in the biggest bull cycle in the history of the world, engineered by runaway central banks who are determined to hyperinflate the debt bubble and create distortions across asset classes by design. So for me, looking at the market, I say, okay, this is what's going on. We are clearly in a massive risk on. Where is risk off? So when I look at that, that's how I determine value, for example. Okay, why does Greg believe that gold and silver, for example, are undervalued? Number one, they're being rigged to the downside. Number two, because gold and silver prosper, or they climb in a risk-off environment. So right now, everything is risk-on. Risk-off, cash is just going to simply look for places to go. It's that simple. When the market right now is a hyper-bubble, it's just a matter of time before it becomes real, and it will by design as well. Cryptocurrencies right now, in my view, are in inverse bubbles. I mean, as crazy as Bitcoin looks right now, it has the potential to go much, much, much higher. All of them do. So again, looking at the market from a risk on, risk off perspective, you gotta like, again, look for where the opportunities are. Okay, we're in a risk on environment, meaning the stock market's going higher. What am I doing? I'm buying large cap stocks that pay dividends. Okay, that's how I am capitalizing on that. I'm also trading the market. So yes, I do own assets. I do own companies that I like, large cap companies that pay dividends. Not only do I want to capitalize on the upward movement of the company's stock, I also want to be paid to hold it. Henceforth, why I get a quarterly dividend. So, I mean, it's really not hard to become wealthy in this kind of environment. You just got to know where to look. And then being that we understand that the market is risk on, well, where are the opportunities? The opportunities are in risk off. Risk off is when things become massively undervalued because of the deliberately engineered environment of risk, hyperinflated real estate, hyperinflated stock market. So you look at this thing from multiple angles. You know, and I try to, in my own work, in my own blogs, I try to make people aware of what's going on, just like you do. And then I say, okay, where are the opportunities? Where are they right now? Okay, you could do this, you could do that, and you could do the other thing. So me, I try to set up everyone that follows my work to be able to capitalize this from every angle, no matter where we go. And it's very easy to do because, again, if anyone has followed my work for, I've been out here for over 10 years, I have called the Federal Reserve, everything they would do, nearly 100% correct. I think my record is about 98%. So I know what the Fed's going to do before they do it. And that is another reason why I'm able to stay ahead of this. But very simply, if we understand we're in a hyper bubble with regard to the debt market, the debt bubble market is a monster. It's a financial Frankenstein on a scale that I think I can't even get my head around it. It's incredible. Because if you look at the debt market, okay, if you look at the face value of what the debt market is, and you go dollar for dollar, okay, you have to also understand that there are layers and layers and layers of derivatives under that. It's in the quadrillions. It's in the, no one knows. It's so big. I don't even think there's a number. Whatever comes after quadrillion is probably it, because under every dollar of face value investment, there are nine layers, or could be more than nine, about nine layers of derivatives under every dollar. So there's side bets on side bets on side bets on side bets. It's an incredible situation. So again, understanding that mechanism really should put a perspective on how immense this is. But again, it's simple to understand how this is going to play out and how it's being set up. We have a hyperbubble in debt. The hyperbubble in debt has created, again, distortions in this market that are being reflected in the risk on and risk off. Okay. Once the debt market here implodes, and it's going to implode by design, it's going to implode by design. In other words, we're going to see rates spike in an uncontrolled manner. The Fed is right now artificially suppressing these rates. They're buying all the debt. Okay. And they're, by doing this, they are devaluing the dollar. They're causing the value to lose purchasing power. All right. Knowing that mechanism makes it simple for people to understand why they should be holding physical gold, physical silver, physical platinum, physical palladium, all the metals. And of course, in my view, as cryptocurrencies as well. I own most of the big ones right now. Okay. So we got that scenario. So what's going to happen? Once the debt market implodes on itself, and it's going to, and this is not going to be by accident either, you're going to get rates that are going to spike very rapidly. What's the effect of that? Well, what's the effect of suppressed rates been since it started back in when they started QE1? Okay. It's hyperinflated the stock market. So when you, and housing. So once you get an implosion in the debt market, rates start to spike. Cash, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the stock market. The game becomes risk off. That cash does not go to money heaven. It goes into people's pockets, and it's going to go into commodities, in my view. I think we're going to enter a commodity super cycle at one particular time as this cash seeks safety, seeks risk off. So we're going to end up seeing prices based in dollars or whatever currency we're in at that time, okay, be reflected in commodity prices that are going to take off. And I also believe this is going to vault cryptocurrencies much higher than they already are.
We're getting low on time, Gregory. I want to ask you one more question before I get Jason in here, see if anything he want to float. But one thing I learned a long time ago about the world is if you're in a tough position, you don't know what to do, look at the adversary, know your enemy. So that's going to be the basis for my next question. By the way, talking to you, I often feel like a stranger in a strange land trying to keep up. But you pointed out that JP Morgan is one of the biggest banks. Is it known how, like, so they have all this artificial, you've called it everything, derivatives, just all this make-believe money that they have, but they must have some amount of physical intrinsic gold and silver, as an example, or crypto. Is there any way to know how much crypto and gold and silver somewhere like JP Morgan is holding? Because wouldn't that prove to people that if they were mimicking the enemy, they probably won't get beat down as hard because the enemy is not going to beat its own self down?
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know if there's an actual way to find out how much cryptocurrency that they are holding or gold or anything like that. We do know that they are the largest bank by assets. In other words, it's not just by cash, it's assets on their books. And you can actually go to JP Morgan website and look up what assets they're holding. But you have to understand this as well. And this is not unique to any one major corporation. Corporations have two balance sheets. They have the balance sheet that they allow the public to see. This is the one that, you know, any public company like JP Morgan or even the Federal Reserve, you're able to see their assets on their books. Then there's the secondary balance sheet. The secondary balance sheet is the one that only, let's say, with regard to the Federal Reserve, only Fed presidents are allowed to see this secondary balance sheet. And with regard to corporations, it's only the upper echelon of management. And everyone knows this. This is common knowledge too. Anyone that knows Wall Street, follows Wall Street, realizes that these corporations, the Federal Reserve, which is a corporation, has two balance sheets, the one the public can see and the one that no one else can see.
Is that legal?
Is it legal? I don't think it is legal, but it's just no one, you're not allowed to see it, and no one can do anything about it. I mean, this is a common practice that's been going on for decades. This is nothing new. This is just a thing that's everyone. See, that's the thing. Everyone knows it's going on. People that understand the markets and are involved in this, they all know it. Regulators all know it, but nothing gets done about it because there's too much money involved. When you have a situation or a corporation or a company, whatever, that has just got money to burn, that pay billions of dollars in fines for rigging the metals, they don't care. Because in aggregate, they're making so much cash off it. And then again, people are being paid off. This is about corruption. This, what we're witnessing here is the fall of empires on a global scale. None more so here than the United States of America. We've never seen corruption like we have here. Really started to get going during the last meltdown. It has taken off and it's not going to stop. So we're witnessing this is a new situation, a new paradigm, a new set of rules, and there are going to be extreme winners and extreme losers here in this situation. And to me, you know, look, what it all boils down to me, I mean, because this really is complicated and it's convoluted. So how do you cut through it all and say, okay, well, what does it mean? What it means is what it means for you. How is having knowledge of what we've spoken about here able to help people by understanding the scenario, understanding the corruption, the rigging, the propaganda, the fakery, the central bank issue, what they're doing right now, their end game, to be the lender and buyer of last resort, to own it all, the distortions that are being created across the spectrum of asset classes. When you have distortions like this, it creates opportunity beyond your wildest dreams. We just know what to do and we know when to do it, which is now. That's the beauty of this entire thing. So literally, for me, it just is crystal clear. And what needs to be done, like we covered here, understanding how to take advantage of the situation, that's really what it boils down to. How do we take advantage of it? Okay, because there are people that are being destroyed here. And there are people that are benefiting off of that destruction. And that's very, very sad. I don't want people to get destroyed. I want people to understand what they can do about it at the present moment. And there is so much that they can do, in my view, at this time. Take advantage of the situation because, and this has been going on for quite a while now, because I don't think we're ever going to see another situation like this again in the history of the world. So right now, there is an opportunity for people to benefit from what they're seeing around them by understanding it, raising their own awareness. And that's really what I want people to do. Listen to shows like this. Pay attention to shows like this. Do your own research. Don't listen to anything Greg Mannarino says or anyone else says. If it makes sense to people what I am saying, I am urging them to do their own research about it and then make up their own minds. I can sketch out the big picture. But it's up to the individual themselves to say, okay, this is what's right for me. This is what I think I should do in this kind of a situation here. Because again, most people are going to sit back and do nothing. They're going to sit there like a deer in the headlights and literally let the system wipe them out. And that's what it's designed to do. But I hate that. I really, really do. When I see opportunity everywhere, and I want people to see that same opportunity and then act on it. But people don't know what to do. It's very frightening to them. I think the simplest way for people to take advantage of the situation is doing what I said to do since day one, that is bet against this debt. Become your own central bank. And that simply means holding hard assets. If people don't want to hold cryptocurrencies, that's fine. They think it's an unnecessary risk. That's fine. I get it. Believe me, it took me a long time to turn around my own way of thinking. Look, I'm an old guy. I'm 55 years old. I'm an old school kind of trained person. And my brain kind of thinks that way. It took me a long time to come. I didn't automatically embrace cryptocurrencies. It took a long time of research and understanding for me to say, hold on a minute here. You know, I was a very, very late buyer to Bitcoin. I didn't even start getting interested in it until it reached a couple of $1,000s. Like I said, I started telling people to buy it at around 3,000. If I was smarter, I would have told people to buy it when it was like a dollar or less than that. But now I understand. I understand the situation. I see where it's going. I understand why people should hold it. Same thing for gold and silver. A lot of people don't get it. I have people, friends of mine, that don't understand why they should hold it, because they think, well, the banks might confiscate it. The Federal Reserve might devalue it. You know, all these things might happen. Okay. Anything, we, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get hit struck by a meteor or two. I have no idea. All I can say is, in the current environment, what I see. And if this changes moving forward, the first people that are going to know about it are the people that follow my work, because I tell it like it is. And a lot of people maybe can't take it. I'm very straightforward. I'm very direct. I don't sugarcoat anything.
Let me jump in here. We're running low on time. I want to get Jason in here before we lose you, but I'm going to ask you one quick yes or no question before Jason gets a shot. Do you feel like the people that you know and work with in your industry are getting inoculated?
No, they're not.
Okay, Jason, jump while you got the chance, bud. Sorry for hogging all that.
Do we have any indication of the petrodollar and how that's going? Obviously, that has been one of the, probably the only thing really, that's propping up the fiat currency since the 1970s. Does it seem like they're going to keep that in place, or do we see any indication that they're going to be moving to something else, or literally just let it all go and sky's the limit? Like, if they're going to do a digital currency, there's nothing whatsoever that is going to act as a modicum of exchange.
Now, the petrodollar was an ingenious mechanism here that was put in place in an incredible situation. Having OPEC nations price their oil in dollars, it creates an ever-existing demand for dollars. In whatever form they're going to come out in the future. Again, I think the dollar is dying in its current form. You know, it's a crazy phenomenon. And most people, even in the military, don't understand how it works, that the United States military is mandated to protect the assets of OPEC nations. And that's why OPEC nations have agreed to price their oil in dollars. For country XYZ to buy crude oil, they can't just buy it. They have to convert their currency into dollars first, and then they can buy it. It's a crazy situation.
But that does keep the value of the dollar to some degree, right?
Exactly. It backs the. So you can. Some people can say, and it can be argued, that the dollar is backed by crude oil, and that's the reason why the mechanism to prop it up exists here. So, I mean, you know, it's debatable. It's very debatable. I personally don't think of it that way, but I know that there are a lot of people that do, that say, okay, since the petrodollar exists, the dollar is backed by crude. Okay, I get it. I get that. But when you have a central bank that's just going absolutely berserk and just creating cash out of thin air, like, you know, there's no tomorrow here. I don't really see I see some of a connection here, but I wouldn't say it's a full 100%. So the petrodollar is always going to exist, in my view. It's an astonishing thing. And in order for it to not exist, there would have to be a major war and someone would have to lose, and that would be the United States. But the petrodollar is defended by the nuclear arsenal of the United States, and they will use it. They will use any means necessary to keep that that moving, that going.
So, Gregory, I'm going to go back one more time to intrinsic value, things made by nature. Right now, roughly, if a average living man or woman wanted to buy an ounce of gold, it'd be in the neighborhood, very close to $2,000. That same ounce in silver would be something like $38-ish dollars. Over the next year, do you think, you know, people kept saying, oh, this is going to skyrocket, but you're pointing out that these numbers are being held down on purpose so that the rich and the powerful can just stockpile. This is true of so many things, probably real estate or anything where the price can be manipulated. Over the next year, do you expect to see a big jump in intrinsic physical wealth?
You know, here's my take on it, and I'm gonna say what I've been saying for the longest time. I really don't even think about it. My time horizon with regard to gold, silver, platinum, palladium, and even cryptocurrencies is at a minimum a decade. At a minimum, a decade from now. I don't even think of things on a week. I don't trade these things, like I said, so I don't care. I don't even think about it. I don't trade metals and I don't trade cryptocurrencies. I hold them. And I am a long-term, that, I mean, and the same thing goes for the companies that I own. My biggest holding right now where I own stock in companies is JP Morgan. Believe it or not, JP Morgan, the largest bank, the biggest rigger of metals in the history of the world.
Sleeping with the enemy there, Greg.
Sleeping with the freaking enemy. You know, they pay a crazy dividend. I think the stock right now, which is somewhere around $159, I think it's massively undervalued. Look, you know, so you got to play the game. You got to play the game. And I think I've proven that I can play the game as good or better than most people on this freaking planet. And I'm happy to say that because I'm keeping people ahead of the curve. I'm letting them understand what I am doing. And I hope that helps people. You know, what is a guy like Greg Mannarino doing? How is he, you know, taking advantage of the system? And I say it every day. I explain the situation to people and people know what I'm doing. It's no secret. I'm an open book. Anyone can, you know, find out what I'm doing. I'll tell you straight out. I don't care. I want people to capitalize on the situation. That's what I want. I don't want them to do nothing. I want them to do something. Because again, there are those people that are laughing their ways to the bank here. And it doesn't have to be that way. People, the average guy or the average girl, but can do it for themselves too. Start small. Buy 1 ounce of silver with every few extra dollars that you have. And that to me is the best way to get yourself on the right side of it. You know, all this other stuff is highly speculative. Of course, is cryptocurrency speculative? Massively. Look at how they trade. Okay, you got massive upward swings. And I tell people, expect volatility when it comes to cryptocurrencies. We had Bitcoin, what, 62,000, went down to like 27,000. Then we had the hedge funds jump in. I told people that was happening before it was announced by the mainstream media that hedge funds were buying it. You know, I have friends that work in the business. I talk to them all the time. So I get a little bit of an inside scoop as to what's going on sometimes. And, you know, maybe without overtly saying it, I tell people, hey, you know what? Maybe this is what you should do. So anyway, so like I said, look, there's opportunity for us. There's no reason to be afraid or scared or whatever, because the world has always been completely screwed up. It's not just today. It just happens to be extremely screwed up today, but it's always been this way going back time immemorial. So again, what do the smart people do? They get themselves on the right side. And that's what I think we all should be doing.
So Greg, we're out of time, but I'd really like to get one more in if you'll field it.
Sure.
So I have a suspicious mind when I know about entities that I will no longer trust or even respect in any way. And that's how I feel about the people who run this country and other things. Is this scenario that I have in my head just paranoia on my part? I always suspected that if they're going to flatten everybody they can, they'll use dirty tricks. Like, here's one scenario I've thought about. One day, everybody wakes up who's been nickel and diamond, some gold and silver to hold, and they realize, holy smokes, an ounce of silver is worth hundreds of dollars. That's it. I'm cashing in. But you see, the problem in my mind is, what are you cashing into? You're cashing into fiat. And then 1 week later, the rug is pulled on fiat. So not only did they get your physical intrinsic value, do you ever suspect something like that will come to bear?
Well, yeah, I do. This is what I said earlier. If you look at people that are well off and people that have a lot of wealth, it's not dollar wealth. They own things. They have physical assets. So yes, sure, you could get rid of this physical asset and then maybe put it into some other physical asset. If you look at most people who are wealthy, they don't have a lot of dollars laying around. They have some. I mean, relative to, let's say, an average person who may have, you know, let's say a couple of thousand dollars in the bank account, if that, you know, maybe the wealthy people have several hundred thousand, maybe they have a million, but they're not letting it sit around in cash. They're not doing that. And this is something I've been urging people to do for the longest time. You got extra cash, put it into an asset, put it into something that maybe you think is undervalued. Or like I said, I have lots of investments. I like artwork. I have a lot of original artwork, musical instruments, cars, real estate.
What kind of musical instruments do you have?
I like old Gibsons.
I'm with you on that one.
Oh, wow. Me and Jason both are musicians.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I get a few of these old Gibson. Some of them are worth a few dollars, you know, and I think they're a nice way to hold value. And they've been going up and up and up, as I'm sure you both know. It's unbelievable. I like old Fender Stratocasters. I don't have one. I've had several throughout my life. I wish I still had a couple of them. They'd be worth a fortune today. Yeah, but, you know, yeah, you gotta be diversified. Now, you know, I know we're running a little late, but let me just say this too. You can't have all your eggs in one basket either, in my view. If you had to choose, though, if you were a person that was pressed into a corner and said, I only have X that I can use, I would say pile your cash into physical silver. It's been my favorite asset since forever, and it will remain that way. I urge people to do their own research into the uses of it. You look at the silver to gold ratio. You look at the gold to Dow ratio. However you want to look at these things, silver is massively, massively, massively undervalued, especially based upon the current state of central bank, buying everything with cash made out of thin air. That's it. But if you have a few dollars laying around, you should be in several things. You should be in assets here. I think you should own, again, going back to the stock market, own a large cap company, let's say like JP Morgan, that, or a company that pays a dividend. You want to collect that dividend every quarter. It's a nice little boost you get today. Hey, look how much I earned. I just got extra cash. You know, it's nice. You want to trade this market if you are so inclined. You know, it's not for everybody. You need to be pretty much focused like a laser on that. And I get that, but I find it a real challenge. It's almost like a video game for me. I like to play it. So, you know, that's what you need to do. You need to figure out how you can get out of that dollar. And it was a great point you brought up. And I've heard this before. What do? You sold this. Now you have these dollars that are losing value. You can't hold them. You got to keep the dollars you need around to transact with. And of course, maybe a few extra, but the rest of it should be in assets.
Kenny Rogers told us the truth. No one to hold them, no one to fold them, huh?
Yeah. Totally true.
So, okay, we're a little over. Let's wrap up. By the way, I agree with you. The moon metal, as I like to refer to it, silver.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a rich person, and I probably should have spent a lot more of my life caring about money, but I cared about other things. But the real thing that bothers me now is so many human beings that I grew up with, that I know, that I meet, are so scared to death that what they've worked for their whole life is about to be yanked out from under them. This, when we talk about these things, I truly am a matter of fact, I may title this episode Stranger in a Strange Land, because that's how I feel. But I think people need to think about these things, because there's a lawnmower on the lawn where we all live. And so you should at least do your best to ensure that you'll be able to get by without total hardship. But Jason, I'm going to wrap it up here.
Greg, why don't we get out your contact info wherever anybody can find you?
Right on my website, traderschoice.net.
All right. Greg, will you have time to get into comments when this goes live?
I'll try to, yeah. And we should do this again. You know, I really like being on your show. I like the questions you guys ask me. It makes me have to think a little bit, and I really enjoy that. So, let's do this again maybe next month.
Okay. We can definitely pencil that in, and we'll make a spot. And the main thing is because I feel like you're a bellwether. It's ironic that I even found you, because it's not a thing that I follow or have knowledge about. Usually I try to follow things that I know something about. I know damn nothing about money markets. I know a little bit about precious metals, but that's because of alchemy.
Well, I think you do. Just from talking to you, you seem to understand where we're at. And that puts you in another league as well. Both of you guys, you know where we're at. You know what's going on. You see what you perceive as insanity, and it is completely insane. So right there allows you to maybe if you just tweak it a little bit, and you can say, wow, you know what Greg said here does kind of make sense, and what Greg said here really doesn't make sense. But whatever it might be, you're able to put this together in your head, and I hope that's what people can do. And then once they make that decision, then they can do something about it, because we can't sit and do nothing in this environment where they're deliberately killing the dollar by design. And this is going to get much worse. We're going to see inflationary pressures continue to pick up. We had an admission yesterday from the Federal Reserve vice chair that, yes, we have inflation, and yes, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but then it's going to miraculously go away. You can't make this stuff up. But that's where we're at. And I really appreciate your perspective on this, you guys. And I thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to being back.
All right. All I can bring to these conversations is a little common sense, but I think these are things people at least need to be aware of, particularly if you're 55, I'm a little older than you. We've been working our whole lives here. And it would be a shame to hit utter hardship at the end of that run. But I'm going to wrap it up here, guys.
All right.
This is going to bring episode 315.5 to a close. I want to thank Jason Lindgren. Sorry for hogging it, Jason, and Gregory Mannarino. And Gregory, I'll fire you off an email probably Sunday night when this goes live. There it is, man. I'd like to wish everybody a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.